Good morning, and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Daigh. I will be your pastor this morning as we open the Word and we dive into what the Word of God says for us in our lives. I spent some time over the last several weeks preparing for this, and this morning it was interesting. As we were driving in, Lori looked at me and she started reading a passage from 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm not going to repeat the passage right now. But we'll get to it as we go through this. But it's interesting to me, it's amazing to me, how when we open our hearts to the study of the Word, that God will just illuminate, enlighten, and pour in everything He wants us to know. And as I was driving in this morning with my wife, He just like inspired me from the standpoint of, hey, I got you covered. This is what I want you to teach. Take some time. Study the Word, learn it, love it, go after it, and I'm excited that everybody is here this morning who is on or has an opportunity to watch the YouTube videos that will be available from this as well. But it just excites me to have the opportunity, I'm honored to have the opportunity to stand before you this morning and teach what God has poured into me this week with regards to the study of the Word of God. So we will open our Word, the Word this morning to 1 Peter. But let's start with a word of prayer. In all things, give thanks, and we shall do that this morning. So if you would bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, humbly opening your word, prayerfully asking that the Spirit will just pour into us the truth of the word. Father, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you have done for us. We thank you for continuously leading the way and lighting our path. We thank you for your Son who has saved us from eternal damnation. We thank you for your Son who has taken the penalty of our sin and placed it upon himself. And Father, we just pray this morning that as we open your word, that you will make the truth very clear, that your words will work through me this morning, that the Spirit will just pour out the truth through me. It's not my words. It's not my desires. It's yours that I request that we hear this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to join together in worship and in study. And Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our Father. In Christ's name, amen. So I started this study, I think about 2.5 years ago. I was looking back at the lessons that were online as guest speakers. So if you want to go back to our springvalleybiblechurch.org, you can find years and years of lessons, which is awesome. And I have the honor of standing before you this morning in place of Pastor Herman Maddox, who is our faithful pastor. Our prayers go to him and his wife this morning, and so many others, but he's recovering from some health issues. So please continue to be in prayer for Pastor Maddox and Judith, who is taking care of him and encouraging him and nourishing him back to health. So please don't forget to spend time in prayer for our faithful pastor. So a couple years ago started this. So some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning is going to be a repeat of some of the things that I taught a few years ago. But I'm excited to have the chance to stand before you and finish this series, because I think it's so relevant to the world that we live in today. If you look around the world, specifically in the United States, where we have been a client nation, where we followed the institutions and the Word of God, at least holistically within our country, which we were based on, things have changed. And it is incredibly challenging for everyone to figure out where do we fit in as believers in this changed world that we live in. And the fact of the matter is, y'all, when you go back and study the Word, it's not a changed world. This is a world that's run and controlled by Satan. And it should not surprise any single one of us in here that it's totally crazy, that it's total chaos. The things that we are going to study in this series I'm calling the Ambassador's Handbook is from 1 Peter, and we will definitely get into some of the concepts in 2 Peter as well. But it talks to us about where we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been chosen by God and have an eternal inheritance, where do we fit in this crazy upside-down world, the world that is controlled by Satan? And I think it's very apropos to be talking about this today. And so some of the things that we've reviewed in the past, I'm going to bring back up. We're going to talk a little bit more in detail around those things like the new birth, things like where we find our foundation, new challenges, or challenges that Peter put out before his congregation through his epistles with regards to how do we operate in an environment of being persecuted. You know, we've all been, the Christian community has been persecuted for eternity. I mean, for as long as there's been a Christian community, they've been persecuted. And we're going to talk about how do we handle ourselves in this persecution. We've been very blessed in this country that the persecution has been set aside as we've continued to follow our guides of the Word of God, as we established our institutions based on the Word of God. But as those things fall away, as we as a nation turn away from those things, we will continue to see more and more and more persecution of the church. And I think you will, if you haven't already seen it, spend a little time watching the news, and we will see more of it going forward. And Peter talks about that, the challenge of the upcoming persecution, things that will be going on in those places as well. But I don't want this to be a bummer kind of a lesson. I want this to be an encouragement, like Peter put in his epistle. It's an encouragement. If we can focus on the things that God has put before us, the inheritance that we have in our eternal future, the grace blessings that He has given us, what happens in this world, y'all, should not be something that concerns us. It should not make us anxious. It should not make us stressed. It should not make us full of fear, anxiety, or depression. We should be encouraged that we know the truth, and we should be the light unto the world to bring that truth to the world. That's our calling. That's who we are. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ in this world. And so, couple of caveats here as we go through this. Not caveats. I want to make it really clear because we've reached out to a group. I'm praying that this Ambassador's Handbook lesson, these lessons, will be spread to a broader audience than just the group that sits in this congregation. And because a lot of these things we know. But I want to make sure that as we go through this, my prayer is that the Spirit will talk through me to you. I am going to teach what the Bible says. There are going to be things in the Bible that some of you may not agree with. That conversation is between you and God. I'm going to teach what the Bible says. It's not politically correct. It's not necessarily feel good to everybody who hears it. But I will teach the truth as the Lord reveals it to me. So that's my caveat as we start. The Word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is God-breathed. And that's what we will teach. So I'm going to back up a bit for this first session to review some of the key ideas that we had talked about previously. I hope and pray that many of you that have not heard this before will spend the time to go back and read some of these things yourselves as we go through the doctrines that are taught in 1 Peter. So a little bit of background on 1 Peter. I so enjoy reading about Peter, and I've said this before. I've talked about this before with y'all. I guess I just relate to Peter. Peter is the guy who jumped out of the boat and ran to Christ, just totally forgetting about the fact that he's not supposed to be able to walk on water, right? As soon as he realized, I'm not supposed to be able to do this, he starts to sink. Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls him up. He had total abandon for Christ. He leaves everything in order to follow Christ. He left his family for long periods of time to follow Christ. He was willing to do whatever Christ asked him. And man, did he fall on his face all the time. And I think that's what I love about Peter, is he's an apostle, follower of Christ, who ultimately, when things got really hard, he failed. But God went and Christ went and seeked him out and lifted him up when he came back. I just relate to that because all the time, it's kind of like Paul says, you know, I try to do the things that I'm supposed to do and I can't seem to do the things that I'm not supposed to do. And I know I just butchered that. But the fact of the matter is Peter is that guy who you just look at him and you go, man, if he can do it, so can I. And it's not about us doing it, because if you look at Peter, as he teaches, everything he puts his faith in is Jesus Christ. Everything. He tried for a long period of time while he was following Christ to do it himself. Right? He's the one who pulled out the sword. He's going to fight all of the centurion guard who were coming in to take Christ captive, right, and to jail him. And what's he do? He pulls out a sword. He's going to fight the world. Christ says, just put it away. I got this. He's willing to do anything, and when he finally realizes he can't do anything, he sets it aside, and he lives his life with total abandon for Christ. And so, I love watching him. I relate to him. I know how many times I fail. I know how many times we all fail. And I know how many times Christ would be willing to come reach his hand out and pick us back up. And that is grace. And so, Peter wrote this around AD 62. The Christians, which at this point in time were primarily converted Jews. So a lot of what he talks about will relate, will be extremely clear to Jews. Right? They understand the Old Testament scriptures. They understand the things that they needed to do with regards to a sacrifice and atonement for sin. And these things made sense to them. So there's a lot of Jewish Christians, but there were a lot of Gentile Christians in this group as well. And they were under severe persecution from Nero, Roman Empire, right? And as we go through here, you're going to see that Peter points out some very specific things, calls to action. And if you look at it in the context of the time in which it was written, which was back during the period of Nero, it was a period of persecution of the Jews, right? So the Jews the Christians, the Jews had been persecuted, these Christian Jews, had been persecuted from the time Christ arrived all the way in that period of time in AD 62. This was an empire of violence. This was an empire of debauchery. It was an empire of total excess. Sound familiar? I mean, seriously, it's like, oh, I know what that looks like. But the thing is these Christians had been persecuted from the time of Christ all the way to that period of time. And oh, by the way, all the way to the time of today. And so Peter, at this period of time, was looking for some very specific things that he was talking about. And as we go through these challenges that he puts before them, challenges to live your life in recognition of the new birth, challenges to live our lives in understanding who we are in Christ. Some of those things that he calls for are specific to the divine institutions that Phil has been teaching over the last several months. The divine institutions that establish the Christian nation, right? The nation unto God. It's the nation that our U.S. was built on, right? It's the institutions of freedom, free will. It's the institutions of marriage. It's the institution of family. It's the institution of the divine nation. And he talks about those things, Peter does, for the Christians that are being persecuted in order to represent Christ within this empire. It's the same things that he is pointing out for us to represent Christ in the world that we live in today. And so he wrote this letter to Christians in the northern Turkey to encourage them amidst persecution, to stand firm in what they believe, and to present themselves wholly in front of their persecutors. In this way, you will glorify the Lord and see the grace that He gives so freely. That's what we're talking about. How can we be an ambassador to the world? So how do we do this? Some key points that we're going to talk about throughout this study. Number one, focus on your spiritual privileges and where your privileges rightly lay. Those privileges for the Christian, the spiritual privileges and rights and justice that we have for us, they aren't on this earth. They're in heaven. That's where our privileges and our rights lay, in heaven. And they are being held for us and guarded for us for eternity by our Lord. Believers in exile, second point, believers in exile are foreigners in this world. This is a transient land where we have no real rights. In this country, when we started this country, man, it was a divine nation blessed by God because we had the rights to worship Him as we saw fit. We had the rights of freedom, a divine institution of freedom in this country. But y'all, those are temporary. As we can see right now, those rights can be taken away on this earth. They cannot be taken away in heaven. We are foreigners in this land. We enjoy and we reinforce and we influence these divine institutions in this country in order for it to maintain its position to be a divine institution, or to be a divine client nation to God. But the fact of the matter is, it's temporary, and as soon as the people as a whole turn away from these things, these divine institutions, guess what? The client nation, the nation that represents God to the world, that status goes away. If we don't represent God to the world, then we aren't going to be blessed by God. Right? It's just the way that it is. The other thing is, justice belongs to another realm. Justice for the Christian belongs in heaven. That's where we have our justice. Our inheritance and exaltation, our glory in Christ awaits us in heaven for eternity. Why do I beat down this point? Y'all, if we get focused on only being glorified here and only being exalted here and only being in a position of justice here, we have missed the point. We've missed the point. We're trying to change the world. We can't change the world. This is the devil's world. But we can live in it and be an ambassador to Christ in this world and bring light into this world. And that ought to excite every single one of us. Is it hard? Yeah. Will we be persecuted? Yes. Are we representing Christ? That's the goal. We are called to a life of holiness and a life of love. We are called to imitate Christ through the power of the Spirit by which we glorify God the Father. We are to work and serve in this world, but we are to serve as unto the Lord. We are not here to serve the world. We are here to serve as unto the world, unto the Lord in the world. We are here to serve our Lord. And so that's a little bit of background. Things, like I said, we've talked about in the past, and I hope that as we go through this, some of these things become very clear. But a little bit of an outline, because sometimes for me, as I begin my studies, you start getting into the details of the verses and the words, and I so love the word-by-word, literally, teaching of Pastor Maddox. It's got so much depth and so much truth. Sometimes I get lost in the big picture. And so I got to keep backing up and going back to what is the overall point. And so a little bit about the outline. I'm not going to go into significant detail in the outline of 1 Peter, but really four primary areas that we're going to be covering in this epistle. First, we're chosen. We are chosen. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are chosen. Chosen ambassadors for Christ. Second, we're challenged. In this epistle, we will be challenged to a new behavior. We can't just act like the rest of the world. If we, as ambassadors to Christ, look exactly like everybody else in this world, if we live like everybody else in this world, if we think like everybody else in this world, what are we representing? We're representing the world. We're challenged to a new behavior. A new behavior before the world, a new behavior in our families, divine institution, and a new behavior the way we operate in our communities, in our nation, a divine institution. Then we will be so chosen, challenged, cautioned. Cautioned for new persecution. He is looking, Peter is talking to a group under Nero, and they are being persecuted violently, torturously. It's horrible. If you ever do any studying of Nero as a Caesar, man, he was horrific. For his short period of time, he was a pretty horrible person. Overcoming injustice. So we're cautioned for new persecution. It's coming. How do we overcome injustice? How do we do that compassionately? How do we do that with a clear conscience? And enduring suffering, right? A Christ-like attitude in suffering. A Christ-like attitude towards our service, even in the persecution. And a Christ-like faith. Maintaining our faith, even under persecution. Endurance of faith. Hope. All of those things we will be talking about. And then we are charged with a new responsibility. And as we look at our nation today, and as we look at the church today, and the way that we are going to continue to see increased persecution of the church, and y'all, this isn't, I want to make sure we're clear here, this is not a bunch of opportunities for the Christian to whine. We don't get to stand before the world and whine because we're being persecuted. We get to stand before the world and declare the grace that Jesus Christ has given to us, that we are willing to accept the fact that we're being persecuted, and that we have joy in that persecution, that we will love our neighbors that persecute us. Voice of the Martyrs, I love, Lori gets the Voice of the Martyrs and plays some videos for us. And there's a video where they're talking about, don't pray that the persecution stops. Pray that we as Christians in this persecution, and I mean, we're talking about horrible stuff that the Christians are going through. We have no clue in the United States what these, you know, real persecution is of a Christian until we look at foreign nations right now, although we're getting there. But the fact of the matter is they say, please do not pray that the persecution stops. Pray that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified through this persecution. They pray for their persecutors. Tortured, jailed, taken from their home. And what do? They pray for those that are persecuting them. And oh, by the way, Voice of the Martyrs is putting out, and you're hearing it more and more and more, the foreign nations, those that are being persecuted in foreign nations are praying for the U.S., they pray for us. We think, oh, well, look how good we've got it, all the great stuff we got. We got the big churches, we got the big, and they pray for us because they can see the light going out. Man, we don't get to whine before the world because we're persecuted. We get to stand and proclaim Christ to the world in that persecution. Joy in our hearts as we're being persecuted, that's what brings people to go, what in the world do you have that I'm missing? And that's where we have the chance to talk to them about Christ. So that's the overview. Charged with new responsibilities, right? Cautioned under new persecution and charged with new responsibilities. Elders are to shepherd. Young men are to submit, and all are to stand firm. That's our call from the book of Peter. So, with those things in mind, a little bit of an overview. I hope that for y'all that are online that have not been with us before, I hope that that will entice you. Kind of like the, you know, you want to make sure you leave them hanging right at the end so they come back for the next one. I hope that that will entice you to continue with us in this study. But let's get started. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump right into to this information. So, Verse 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that's who it's from, to those chosen, living as exile, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, those are the different places across northern Turkey, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So Peter, translated from the Aramaic Cephas, so as you guys are doing your studies, if you run across Cephas, that's Peter, Simon Peter, he is given this name by Jesus when he was called to be a disciple. An apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was chosen by our Lord. This comes with authority to speak on behalf of our Savior. Remember, Christ said that Peter, I'm going to build my church upon your rock. He has the authority to speak for the Lord. And this is the word of God given to Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read this, I'm going to go through these things. As we go through this, there's going to be several things I'm going to call out as decision points. Things that we need to contemplate and we need to build upon as we go through the study. To say, do we believe this or do we not? And so, this is the word of God given to Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read 2 Peter 1:19, it says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in our hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Why do I say that? Because when we go through this, y'all, we need to make sure we understand this is not the words of man. This is the word of God. And we need to treat it that way. We need to think about it that way. It is mildly interesting if we read something that says, hey, do this and do this, and we go, oh, I get that. When it says do this and do this, through the obedience of faith, we need to understand that is God's word. That is God saying it. That is not man saying, hey, you know what, this is really all the way. If man says it, man can change it. If God says it, we better listen. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why do we study the Word? To be reproved, corrected, trained in how to be righteous. We are righteous in our positions before God because of the filling of the Spirit and the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. We live our life in righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. That's who we are. All Scripture is inspired and given to us to do, help us do those things. It's not about the knowledge that we gain. It's not just about collecting knowledge. I love to use this example with people. We can have the knowledge of how to lose weight. We can have the knowledge. Hey, you need to exercise and you need to eat less calories. We can know that all day long, but we will never lose weight unless we exercise and eat less calories. This is the Word of God. We will be spiritual. We will be sanctified in our lives. We will be righteous before the world. We will be ambassadors to the world when we exercise and we eat less calories. When we study the Word of God and we apply that to our lives. So, with that being said, I'm going to do a little preaching today. I'm having fun. I hope you all are having fun as well. Why do I make such a point of this? As we go through this series, I'm going to call out some points of truth that each one of us are going to have to make decisions around, as I mentioned before. Each of these decisions are a building block to the decisions for being an ambassador for Christ or an ambassador for the world. We choose. We can be an ambassador for the world. That's easy. Just go be like everybody else in the world. We can be an ambassador for Christ. That's tough, because the world will not like you. This is our first decision point. Do you believe the Bible or not? Do you believe that this is the Word of God or not? Because as we go through this, we got to make decisions. If we do, then we have to decide as we go forward how we're going to respond to what God says in His Word. Are we going to do what He says, or are we not? If we don't believe this to be in the infallible, inerrant Word, then my prayer is that the Spirit of God will convict you relentlessly until you see this as the truth. Because if you don't see this as the truth, you don't gain anything out of it. Lori and I watched Genesis, Paradise Lost. If you have an opportunity to watch an incredible movie, Genesis, Paradise Lost, I think it costs $5 to rent it on one of your streaming subscriptions, whatever it is. Genesis, Paradise Lost. It talks about creation versus evolution. Y'all, what has moved into the church today is this. Hey, we're going to do a little of both. We're going to do a little of both. You have to decide, did God create the world in 7 days or did He not? When we start playing games with what the Word of God says, we have dismissed all of it. Because if one piece of the Word of God is not true, or is questionable, or is open to interpretation by man, then all of it is. So we got to decide, is this the Word of God, or is it not? Are we going to treat it as the Word of God, or are we not? That's the decision we get to make. So who is this a letter addressed to? Excuse me. Who is this a letter addressed to? As we said here, it's addressed to foreigners, not citizens of this earth, but citizens of heaven, eternal citizenship. We live in this land, but our citizenship is in heaven. As followers of Christ, we have no rights, no justice, no privilege in this world. We had them, and this country protected them, but everything in this world's temporary. Only in heaven is it permanent. These Christians... These followers of Christ are scattered through the lands. They're away from their original homes. They've been moved. They've been persecuted. This time, the church is mainly made up of converted Jews. It's interesting. We're going to talk about election and being chosen. The Jews understood what it meant to be chosen. The Jewish nation was chosen by God. That was the original earthly elect, right? They were persecuted. These Jews had been persecuted by their own for a long period of time, and they continued to being persecuted under Nero. The persecution doesn't stop in this world. We are in the angelic conflict, and it will not stop. We're talking about it today because we are in the angelic conflict. And so I want to speak to you a moment for what are we talking about by who are chosen. This is the believers, the elected in Christ for a heavenly eternal kingdom. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, all who accept Christ as their Savior are in Christ. Everyone who accepts Christ as their Savior and have been saved are in positionally in Christ. John 17:20-21, and this is Jesus speaking, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, speaking of His disciples, but for those who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I am in You, that they may also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. We are in Christ, positionally in Christ. We are righteous before the Father because of the work of Christ on the cross and our acceptance of that gift, the grace gift. As we look at the way we are going to be challenged to act, the way we are going to be challenged to present ourselves before the world in persecution, we need to understand the basic foundation for who we are. It's really hard to run around and represent something if you don't know who you are. This is what we're talking about. We are chosen positionally in Christ. We are in Christ. So the volition. We have the right to choose. And my prayer for anybody who is listening today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you have the opportunity right now to choose Him. Because none of this matters unless you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand before our Lord condemned until we have accepted the righteousness of Christ as our gift. He died on the cross for our sins, and we have that choice. But it's your choice. A divine institution that God created is free will, the divine institution of volition. This is a principle, this right to choose is a principle directed towards the human race for its orderly direction and preservation. This institution was initiated in the garden as the mechanism for resolving the angelic conflict. The reason that freedom in this world is so important is because we need to have the right to choose God or not. We all have that right. It's the mechanism for resolving the angelic conflict. God could have made us all believers, but what would that have resolved? We have to have the opportunity to choose Him. Why do we protect freedom in this country? Why is it so important? For that reason, so that we can have our choice to who we will worship. John 3:18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God, God's one and only Son. Why do I say these things? I'm not going to get into all the different points of Calvinism, but suffice it to say, irresistible grace is not grace. That's all I can say about it. Irresistible grace is not grace. God gave every single one of us the opportunity to choose, starting in the garden. Freedom is an institution that we should, is a divine institution put forth by God, so we have the choice. We get a choice to decide what we will believe and what we will not believe. And so we are chosen in that we are in Christ. Anyone in Christ is chosen. And God has known that from eternity past. He knew who was going to choose and who was not. He's God. There is no chronological time for Him. It's all like right now. You ever put your mind around that for a second? I don't know if I would want to have that because, man, that would drive me crazy. It's like, I don't know, should I do this first or should I do that? Now, God has it all figured out. I'm just thinking from my perspective, I would be totally lost in that deal. So I'm glad He's God. By searching the work of the Spirit, set apart to be obedient. So obedience, that is faith. So we are sanctified by the Spirit of God. We are set apart to be obedient. We are set apart for a purpose. We're set apart to be obedient, and that obedience is based on our faith. Obedience does mean we do stuff and don't do stuff. I mean, I want to be really careful about when we say obedience is not works. Obedience is based on our faith, but oh, by the way, obedience means we will do stuff, or we will not do stuff. The Word of God makes it really clear what we are to do and not to do. The value of those things is when we, as believers, choose through faith that that's how we will live our lives. But, y'all, when God says to do something, obedience means we do it, even if we are. But we don't get sanctified through our do and do and do and more and more and more. We are sanctified through the fact that we trust that God has a plan for what we're doing, and we need to do it. So keep moving forward. Standing still? Sure. Short periods of time, listening for the Word, but never stop moving forward. Because if you're not moving forward, you are moving backwards. That's not just true in athletics, by the way. That's true in the Word of God. So, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, we are set apart to obedience that is faith. Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord through faith, so also walk in Him. It doesn't say, so also stand around and watch everybody else walk in Him. It says, through your faith, just as you became a believer through faith, so also walk. Oh, that means do something. It means follow the leading of the Spirit into the things that you are supposed to do through the faith that we have that He has it all under control. Having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Not only are we supposed to do these things, be obedient to Him through our faith, but we're supposed to be grateful. Persecution? Be grateful. It strengthens our faith. Challenges? Be grateful. It strengthens our faith. So point three, we as believers have been justified, sanctified, and chosen in Christ for the purposes set forth by God. All of this was accomplished by God's work. It's our faith that benefits from it, that we benefit from it is through our faith. Not a single thing in all of this we are chosen had anything to do with us. It was a gift freely given to us by God. So, moving on into, that's who this is from, and that's who this is to, the chosen. We are chosen. And so as we read this, this is Peter talking to us. I love to use pictures. I love to think about pictures. I can just see Peter as he's writing this and thinking about this, reflecting back on his relationship with Christ, his time with Christ, and just the passion that he had for him. And just realizing and picturing him having these conversations with Christ and getting to the point where he understood, I'm chosen. I was chosen by him. My Savior chose me. This is not designed as some big emotional thing, but there is emotion in this. As we read this from Peter, I just have to see almost a begging from Peter to say, just understand what I'm saying. Just get it. Because I've had that chance. I've been with him. Though you do not see him, you love him. I saw him, and I love him. So as we go forward through this, the doctrine is amazing. Picture some of the emotion. Picture some of the thoughts that Peter is having as he's providing this information and writing this to his beloved fellow believers. So let's move on to point two. I should say part two. Chosen for a new birth. So we are chosen. Let me read verses 3-9 here, and we may get through a good portion of this. We may not. We'll see. But I'm going to go ahead and read this. So we already read introduction, so we know who it's from. We know who it's to. We know our position in Christ is chosen. And so in verse 3, we'll pick it up. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always thankful, always praising. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though for now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire. Let me back up. So that the proven character of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Wow. There's a lot there. I think somewhere it was put out that I'm going to do 8 segments of this. Just for the record, I'll ask Herman at some point when he comes back. He could probably do 8 on just this part. So I won't do that. But there is a ton here. And so we're going to jump right in and see where we get to before the end of this hour. Chosen for a new birth. The new birth. And I'm going to read something from Lewis Berry Chafer's Systematic Theology. And it's from Volume 1, Preface. And if you have the Systematic Theology, which is like 8 volumes long, it's like this big. The index and the table of contents is very valuable if you're trying to look something up in this particular theology, systematic theology. But anyway, new birth. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's Ephesians 5:25-27. and that his resurrection is the beginning of the new creation of God. That's the church age believer, which includes the many sons whom he is bringing into glory, Hebrews 2:10. In this new creation relationship, the believer is in the resurrected Christ, and the resurrected Christ is in the believer. This twofold unity establishes an identity of relationship which surpasses all human understanding. We try to get our heads around that, but the fact is, we have no concept of what it means to be in Christ. That's what our transformation is through the study of the Word of God and living our life in obedience through faith. We are transformed into understanding what that means. This twofold unity establishes an identity of relationship which surpasses all human understanding. It is even likened by Christ to the unity which exists between the persons of the Godhead. And I already read that, John 17:21 through 23. By the baptism of the Spirit, when one believes, the saved one is, and here is a number of things that as in our new birth, these are the things that we accomplish. No, let me say that differently. These are the things that God graciously gives to us. We are joined to the Lord, and by that union with the resurrected Christ, we are made partakers of his resurrected life. That's our hope. Y'all, we worship a living God. We worship a living Savior. Our hope is that we are tied in and we are in Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, having been resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. That's our position. As we approach the Word of God, we need to understand that's our position in Christ. That's our hope. We have no reason for fear. Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do we have as Christians to fear from the death? I mean, the means of death, maybe we have a little concern about. Death itself, Christians should never be afraid of death. To live is to be in Christ, and to die is to be with him, face to face with the Lord. We get so focused on what we will lose on this earth that we forget about all we have to gain in eternity. My dad used to call it penny wise and pound foolish. I never understood that when he first said it, and then I had to spend a little time. And I thought about it, and I'm like, yep, I get that. Penny wise and pound foolish. We will save a penny and give up a pound. We will hold on tight to this earthly stuff and give up eternity, the rewards in eternity. My dad is frequently a wise man. So, we are joined in union with the resurrected Christ and partakers of his resurrected life. The second thing, we are translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. Translated out of the power of darkness. This world is dark, and this world has a lot of power. This is Satan's world. And if we think we can go head-to-head with him by ourselves and win, we are in for a rude awakening. But we are translated out of the darkness of this world, living in the light. Are we still sinners? Yes. Do we still succumb to the temptation of sin? Yes. But y'all, we are not to live in the darkness of this world. We are to be different than the darkness of this world. We are to be a light in this world. We have been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. So why do we continue to live our lives just like the non-believer? That's our challenge. We do it. This isn't me like condemning anybody or preaching to anybody outside of myself. We all do it. Three, in our new birth, we are crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. The penalty of our sin, crucified, dead, and buried. The penalty of sin is death. We, through our position in Christ, have all of the penalty of sin paid for because we have been crucified, buried, and we have been crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. The penalty of our sin is paid in full. We are removed from the power of sin temporarily while we are trusting the Spirit. All of our sins, they're paid for. We are raised to walk in a newness of life. We are no longer the old creature. With new birth, we have been raised to walk in a newness of life. We are not to live the life that we lived before we were believers. We are spiritually alive. We are spiritually alive means we will be alive forever. And so here's the question I have pondered sometimes as I walk around and I talk to Christians and people that I understand that are believers. If we're alive, why do we act like we're on the verge of the last breath? I do it. Oh, the world's going to fall apart. We're going to lose this. Oh, man, we're alive. We are a new creature in Christ. Why are we not out there telling the world, hey, forget about the world. Let me tell you what permanently alive means. Let me tell you about the joy you receive from your Savior. We are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. This is our position. This is true for all believers. We may not like the person that we are talking to. We may not want to be with the person we are talking to, but guess what? All believers, whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them, whether you like their politics or you don't like their politics, doesn't matter, all believers are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. That is our position. When we talk to a believer, when we talk to somebody and find out that they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that that's who we are talking to. That's who we are commanded to love. That's who we are commanded to be in unity with. We are talking to someone that is in Christ. And that's how we should behave. By the baptism of the Spirit through our new birth, when one believes, we are a citizen of heaven. The citizenship where the government is perfect, the king is perfect, there's justice and fairness for all. But oh, by the way, y'all, if you read your Bible, there is not equality. So be very careful about tagging equality to a gift from God. We will not be equal in heaven. But there will be justice, and there will be love, and there will be a perfect king and a perfect government. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens of this world. And we are forgiven of all of our trespasses. Forgiveness. All sins are forgiven. We are made righteous before the Lord. Stop and think about that. Think about the worst thing that you have ever done in your life. And please do not go into a guilt complex here. Just for a moment. Think of the worst thing that you ever have done in your life. Think of the worst person that you've ever known and the worst thing they've ever done. I appreciate y'all that pointed to yourself. That's cool. The sins of the world are forgiven. They're paid for. As a believer, excuse me, let me make sure I'm clear. The sins of the world are paid for. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been forgiven of all of their sins. God is faithful to His Son in the forgiveness of those sins. So when we're talking to a believer and we accuse and we judge and we malign and we they've been forgiven. And if God has forgiven them, who are we to judge them? So what about continual sanctification? What about continual sanctification? That's one of those big doctrinal words. I say some of these things from a doctrinal standpoint. This was sent out to our larger youth ministry that I would be teaching this morning. And so I want to make sure that as we talk about some of these things, most of y'all know these things, but I want to make sure that it's really clear. What is continual sanctification? We have been forgiven of our sins. We are in Christ. We are transferred from the power of darkness into the light. But when we fall away from God, when we fall away from God, then through recognizing our position of being away from God, reestablishing our faith, and walking in Him, then we can realize the benefits of our position in Christ again. We are always in Christ. By the way, we, as believers who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, once you're saved, you are in Christ. That is your position. God is faithful to His Son who has given you, has chosen you to be in Him, and He will never take that away. And oh, by the way, you can't give it away. Eternal security. When you believe, you can't give it back, and it will never be taken away. And that we ought to rest our entire life on. Anxiety? There's no space for anxiety in the Christian world. Will we have it? Yes. Should we? No. We have eternal life. But we can succumb to the power of darkness. We can succumb to the power of sin. And so we need to have some sort of an ability to recognize when we've fallen away from that relationship with Christ. The relationship is always there. Analogy. You know, when you find yourself far away from Christ, He didn't move. God didn't move. We're the ones that move. The question is, are we going to come back? And so, we're going to talk about continual sanctification in the next hour, because I want to make sure that we see what that means. But we need to continuously be sanctified in Christ, in our position. We will always be in our position, but we need to live our lives that way, sanctified through the power of the Spirit. And then the last point I'm going to make today is that we are justified and blessed with every spiritual blessing. So a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is justified, meaning God, the perfect judge, has looked and said, you are justified and blessed. God does all the work. God does everything for us. God says, just accept it. Just believe me. Just trust me. And then He says, you're justified. And oh, by the way, here's all the blessings. Man, is that the God that all churches are teaching today? I don't know, but it's the God of the Bible. Man, that is a God who sees a need and delivers on that need. He knew we couldn't do it. We're justified and blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's something to base our lives on. That's something to, for foundation purposes, to put our lives totally relinquished to that understanding that we're justified before God and we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now go out into the world and represent our Savior. We'll pick it up in a few minutes. We'll take a break. I need to get some water. And then we'll have our normal 10:45 service. So please, would love for you all to join us. Come back in a few minutes. I've still got like 19 pages to go. I won't get them all done today. But we'd love for you to join us in a few minutes. So 10:45, we will be back online. And let's pray in closing, and we'll start again in a bit. Heavenly Father, we just ask that the things we talked about this morning are just pushed, you just push these things into our soul, Father. Pour them all into us so that we can understand that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we represent you to this world. You have given us absolutely everything, and only thing you ask is go represent me and glorify me in this world. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we will talk again in a few minutes. In Christ's name, amen.